Interesting that Breland would read that. And that kind of goes along with 2 John. Really. So anyway, we're going to cover 2 John. We're going to cover 2 John chapter 1, 2, and 3. Right? No, it's just one chapter. I'm just joking. So it's not very long. It's only 13 verses. So really we ought to be able to cover this morning, the whole first, second epistle of John, really. Okay. It begins with the elder. Oh, we'll read the whole thing and then we'll go back and talk about it. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Oh, truth. There you go. Didn't Breland just talk about truth? Who I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And look how much truth is mentioned in this epistle. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Boy, truth keeps getting mentioned. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Remember, you saw that in the previous epistle, didn't we? And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. For, which looks back to the previous verses, I think all of them really, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He didn't say the antichrist, an antichrist. There are many antichrists. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. I guess doctrine is kind of important, huh? You think? The doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's pretty serious right there, huh? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your home, neither bid him Godspeed. What does that mean? For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Pretty serious, isn't it? Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Okay, so it says here the elder of the elect lady. Now this is not speaking to a church, okay? The elder here is obviously the apostle John, right? And so this elect lady is some woman, okay? And from what Gil said, he thought that she was a rich woman, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, she's a lady. So it's not the church or a particular church that he's writing to, but a particular lady. Because notice down in the last verse, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Now, is he talking about a sister church? But then, you know, he's talking about, if she has children and those children abide in the truth, I don't think, does a church have children? As members, I don't know. Maybe you could apply it to the church, but you know, from everything I read, this is a particular woman that he's writing to. Just as in look at the next epistle of John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So it's a similar statement there, okay? So it appears to me, and I think this is correct, that it's a particular woman here. And the Greek word for lady is Kyria, and some think this to really be her name. The lexicon says, for this Greek word here, it says a Christian woman to whom the second epistle of John is addressed. Strong says C-Y-R-I-A, a Christian woman. So this is perhaps this Greek word that was translated lady is really her name. Perhaps, I don't know. And so, and as I've already pointed out, he opens the third epistle of John in a similar greeting to a particular person named Gaius, okay, who is an unknown Christian of Asia Minor. There are more than one Gaius mentioned in the Bible, but this is some unknown man. Not, they don't know who it is. And so it says here, and her children, and I think this is of this particular lady, and of course, notice, he's not talking about little infant children, because they love the truth too, don't they? Doesn't it say that here? And her children, whom I think it says in verse 4, okay? Look at verse 4. What did verse 4 say? I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment of the Father. So she's walking in the truth, and her children are walking in the truth. Boy, that's good stuff, huh? I mean, how much greater, doesn't it give you joy when your children love the truth and even their children love the truth? Boy, that's I like that, don't you? I mean, when all your children are going off into the world and ain't none of them love the truth, that's kind of sad. Because we want our children to walk in the truth, and when our children walk in the truth and their children walk in the truth, you know, we have hope of having joy with them for all eternity. You know, I mean, isn't that right? When our loved ones depart, don't we want to see them again? But if they don't know Christ, we're never going to see them.
I kind of think about Jacob when he was on his dying bed. He had joy. His grandkids sit on his
bed. Yeah.
Kind of picture
of
that.
Yeah, that's true, huh? And yeah.
And they were in a family that he loved even.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were rebels or something.
No, no, they were.
But he had joy.
God, they were God's people, right? Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I think that's part of that, I guess. But he says, whom I love in truth, in the truth. You know, to love in the truth is to love in Christ, I think. Christ is the truth, right? And so, you know, you think about it. There's a special love for those who love the truth, isn't there? Don't you think so? Not only does the apostle love her in the truth, but she is loved by all those that have known the truth and, of course, knew her as well, obviously. Notice that. He says, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. When he says that all they that have known the truth, obviously he's not talking about every Christian in the world, but the ones that knew her and loved the truth and knew the truth, they loved her too, didn't they? Just as he loved her in the truth. He loved her in the truth. And that's another thought too. Okay, and I'll get to it in a second. Okay. Those that are born of God also love those that are born of God. Didn't we read that back in the last epistle? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also. So, the person that's born of God has the Spirit of God in him. They love the others that are born of God and have the Spirit of God. There's some connection there in it. You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is one. You know, I mean, if one Christian has the Holy Spirit in him, the other, I mean, I know the flesh can battle each other, but that new man, that the Holy Spirit that's leading us away from the flesh, should lead us to bring us together, not against each other. So anyway,
we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're kin.
Yeah.
Family. So that's, you know, family has their fights and disputes. Talk family today.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know that. Wait till somebody dies. Huh? Yeah. With same father. Yeah. You know, and our father's not going to die and leave us nothing like some of these other, you know what I'm saying? They ain't going to battle over who gets what, you know. We ain't going to battle over who gets what, are we? No, because We got the inheritance of Christ, you know. We join heirs with Christ. Man, we'll have, it won't be no battles about anything like that. So Jesus is the truth. Now think about this. You cannot divorce the doctrine of Christ from Christ. Can you? You can't. And we just read, he that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Right? That's what he said down later on. If a person denies the doctrine of Christ, they just don't have God. Those false teachers that come to your door, they have not God. I'm sorry, they don't. And he said, don't bid them Godspeed neither. We'll talk about it more. To love Jesus is to love the truth. Many, even multitudes, say they love Jesus, but hate the truth. That's a fact. You don't think that those people that knock on your door, I ain't going to mention them by name, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all the rest of them, that knock on your door, they ain't going to say, well, do you hate Jesus? Well, no, I love Jesus. No, they hate Jesus. They have not God, and they don't love the Jesus of the Bible. They love another Jesus. And their Bible talks about another Jesus. I'm sorry, that's just the facts. Okay? They teach another way of salvation. They teach that Christ's atonement only gives you a second chance. Didn't take any of your sins away. The only thing he did was take the ones that I'm talking about, only took away, I looked it all up. Christ's atonement only took away the sin of Adam. That's it. And gave you a second chance. Really? That's your gospel? Absolutely. It's all the same thing. It all belongs in the same heap. Same cesspool is where it belongs, you know. I don't mean to be crude, but I don't know what else to say. It is the truth that sets men free from the bondage of sin and religion, right? The Pharisees, think about this, the Pharisees were the best religion had to offer in their time. Outwardly, they appeared to be righteous and more righteous than those that were not of their sect. Think about that. I mean, they were the best. They appeared more righteous than the Jews around them. I mean, this was the Jew of the Jews, the righteous of the righteous, if you will. I don't know what else to say about it, right? Yet they were in bondage. And Jesus told them so. He said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Isn't that what he said? Now, I had to read the rest of that chapter. Let me turn there. I didn't put it all down here in my notes. That was John chapter 8, by the way, verse 32. And so he went on to say in verse 37, okay, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, as they claim, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Uh-oh. He's drawing a line in the sand here, buddy. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Not that if they did the works of Abraham, they'd be Abraham's children. If you were Abraham's children already, you would do the works. You see what the chicken always comes before the egg, doesn't it? The horse always comes before the cart. And look at it. He'll say it here again. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not a fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, ye would love me. He didn't say, if you love me, you will be God's, God will be your father. He put it the other way. If God was your father, you would love me. Simple as that. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Why? Why couldn't they? Because their father is the devil. That's why. If God was their father, they would hear Christ. But he said, you cannot hear me. You know why? Because you have your father, the devil. Yeah.
They don't see it in the same light that a Christian does.
Yeah.
That a true believer, a true somebody who's saved.
You're right.
Don't see this in a totally different
light. Totally different light. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're exactly right. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He's not very kind to these folks. Huh? Is he trying to convert them? I mean, you're of your father the devil. You cannot even hear my words, you know. He knows who they are. Huh?
He just do good
work. Yeah.
It's kind of like he's pronouncing judgment on
it,
and there's no
remedy, huh? No. Well, let's see what he said. You're of your father the devil. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell ye the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Why don't they hear God's words? He tells them right here. Because ye are not of God. Ye are not of God. Then they answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Oh, gosh. They hated his guts, didn't they? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. And you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. I'm reading the whole chapter because I think it's kind of good. It says a lot, doesn't it? I didn't mean to really read all this, but anyway, I'm going to keep reading. Then said the Jesus unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. For sure, now I know you have a devil. Right? Abraham is dead. And the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Of course, they in the flesh, just like that, you know. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets and that are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Are thou greater than him? Oh yeah, he's so much greater than them. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Now I think he's talking about as a man coming into the world. He honored his father. It is my father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, you bunch of liars. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What did you just say? Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, boy, and this is really the one that really got them. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, I am. It's time to stone this man. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He just went right out now from them. Before Abraham was, I am. He's the I am that was in that bush that spoke to Moses, I believe. Because it said he was the angel of the Lord. Christ is the I am. Anyway, I read all that. So now we can get to verse 2. Yes, sir. Yeah.
But we're to call them out.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially when you witness to them, if they call your God a liar, they say, no, salvation isn't that way, salvation is this way.
Right.
No, God didn't condemn this.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we put up with today.
Yeah.
We should be calling out.
Yeah. You can lose your salvation, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Oh, God don't keep you saved. Well, he does, too. I mean, otherwise you're calling Jesus a liar. Because I got too much scripture that says he will keep his own. And they're preserved and they have eternal life and all of that. You know, I understand we got to persevere. But we do persevere. We covered that whenever. He says, For the true sake which dwelleth in us, verse 2, and shall be with us forever. Forever. So they loved her not because of her. Now, notice this, for the truth's sake. Now, if Gil said she was a wealthy woman, okay, the love he had and the ones that loved the truth had for her was for the truth's sake. Right? So let's say two different people come in here. One's a pauper, can't buy gasoline to put in their car. The other is a rich person. Are we going to love one more than the other? Or are we going to love them for the truth's sake? Just a thought. You know, it came to my mind afterwards because Gil was saying they loved her not because of her. In other words, it wasn't because of her station in life that he set his love upon her. It wasn't because she was some noble person, but it was for the truth's sake. A pauper could come in here in rags and we could love them for the truth's sake just as much as a noble person coming in here, we'd love them for the truth's sake. We're both brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? So just a thought, you know. And I mean, we all have to deal with this flesh, we know that. But anyway, and we don't always follow this too as well as we should, maybe. Okay. And then he says here, which dwelleth in us. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. Well, it's Christ's Spirit that dwells in us. And if so, then we love the doctrine of Christ. If Christ's Spirit is in us, then we will love the doctrine of Christ. Wouldn't you think? If any man have not the doctrine of Christ, he is not of God. That's what he goes on to say. And so, as Paul said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, one and the same, they together. If you have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have the Spirit of God in you. If you hate the truth of the gospel, how that Christ took our sins upon himself in a substitutionary way and nailed those sins to the cross and took them away forever. If that is not your trust and you believe in something else, you don't have the doctrine of Christ. I just don't know how to get around it. Whosoever transgresseth, we already read, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. That's right. You know, I'm going to talk more about that when we get to it. What does it mean to transgress? I'm not talking about transgressing a particular sin or the law of God, because we all transgress that at times. He says here, and shall be with us forever. Christ will never leave his children. They are preserved forever, and no man can pluck them from his hand or his father's hand, because they have the Spirit dwelling in them and are born of God. Think about that. The Holy Spirit's involved here, the Father's involved here, and the Son's involved here. They are preserved by the Trinity, if you will. Okay. That's pretty secure, don't you think?
Yeah.
No man. I mean, how much scripture do we have to quote and go over and over and over again to show that the elect are effectually called and preserved in Jesus Christ, and what God has started, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ? I mean, how much do you have to prove? If any man draw back, but we're not of them that draw back. You know why? Because God has given us his Spirit. Not because we're working this thing up, but because God has given us his Spirit. That's why. Yeah, that's right. Gill says, where Christ enters and takes up his abode, from thence he never finally and totally departs. Though he may sometimes hide his face with respect to communion, or withdraw his gracious presence, and where the gospel has once took place in the heart and has become the engrafted. What he's getting at is sometimes, you know, we can fall into sin and God might just kind of hold his face back, but he doesn't depart from us. He will not depart from us. He says, and where the gospel has once took place in the heart and has become the engrafted word, it can never be rooted out or be removed. And where the truth of grace is, it will remain. It is an incorruptible seed, a well of living water springing up into eternal life. You shall, like he told that woman, you shall never thirst. The water that I give you, you shall never thirst. It didn't say, well, you're not going to thirst for a while, but if you do something wrong, you might thirst again. You shall never thirst. That's what he told her. And look at all she had done. She had five husbands, and she was living with a man who wasn't even her husband. And yet he went out of his way to go preach to that woman. I must go through Samaria. Isn't that what he said? Because one of his elect was over there. A depraved woman, Samaritan, who had five men, husbands, and was living with a man right there. You mean God can save somebody like that? Yep, sure can. Saved that thief on the cross, didn't he? That's right. I think she repented, though. When he told her everything she did, I think, oh, man, he knows every sin I've done. Anyway, verse 3, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Always truth and love. So this is a similar salutation by Paul the Apostle. He said unto Timothy, my own son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. What is from one is from the other. Isn't that right? The Father and the Son are one. He said that, didn't he? If one loves, then the other loves. If one gives mercy, the other gives mercy. The Father desired mercy for the elect, and the Son carried out what was necessary to obtain that which the Father desired for the elect, and the Holy Spirit enables the elect to trust in Christ. The whole Trinity is involved in this, in the salvation, in our salvation. He says here, in truth and love. truth that God sent his son. What is truth? God sent his son into the world to be a propitiation for our sins, and it was in love that he sent his son, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Isn't that what it said? It was in love that he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Let me read that. And I want you to notice, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, I want you to notice that there's no period after love. It's just a colon there. I think the sentence continues in my mind, okay? According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. The reason we were predestinated unto the adoption of children, he did that in love. It was his love, his eternal love, that he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I think by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasures of will, it says. Verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received the commandment of the Father. So John was not only rejoicing that this elect lady was rejoicing, walking in the truth, but that her children were walking in the truth. Well, yeah, that's don't you just love when you go somewhere and you hear of someone and their children love the truth too? That's a good thing. I wish we wish all our children walked in the truth. It ain't always that way, you know. Can you imagine old brother David O'Neill? I remember him. His son used to play guitar in the barrooms, but when the Lord saved him, you don't think he didn't have some joy? He had joy. And you know what? We all had joy with him, didn't we? Sure did. And so, you know, think about it. Life is short, and we want to have fellowship with our loved ones, don't we? And this is too short of a life to not have fellowship with them for all eternity, or desire that. So, man, if they're walking in the truth, that brings joy. That brings, relief, kind of, so to speak. Okay? And then he says, as we have received commandment from the Father. The commandment of the Father has been made known by Jesus Christ, but the Father also spoke, I can think of a couple of times, once at the baptism of Christ, this is my beloved Son, remember that? And then also at his transfiguration. Remember when he was transfigured and they wanted to build a tabernacle of Moses and Elijah, and what it got, then this voice came out of the cloud and it says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. And so they had received a commandment from the Father, and of course the Son told us that. Verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. So, and you know the scriptures back in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Jesus said, in a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you, he told them in 15:12. And this is love, verse 6 of our study, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in. So, you remember, and I'll just give you a couple of scriptures, and we'll hurry up, because I want to kind of finish this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus said that, right? Gill says that this is the will of God, that his people should walk in the truth of the gospel and abide by it, as they heard and received it at their first conversion from the mouths of the apostles or other faithful ministers of the word, which obviously we ain't heard, well, through the mouth of the apostles by the written word. And so that is the reason they should follow or should what am I trying to say? The verse 6 is the reason for verse 7, I guess you mean. For, the word for looks back to what's already been said, right? Think about what's been said. Rejoice in the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, right? And follow His commandments, right? And everything that Jesus said, right? Why? For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, not the antichrist, I think. So that word for looks back to the previous thing, for obeying the commandment of Christ, to love the brethren and to walk in the truth of the gospel. Walk in the truth of the gospel. Why? For there are many deceivers going out into the world. Listen to Paul's. You can't get any stronger than this. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Right? The grace of Christ. What does that mean? That means grace. What we teach about grace, right? All that is involved with grace, not of works, unto another gospel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. It's not like, well, we preaching, it's not another. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They say they preach the gospel of Christ, but they mix works with it. They pervert it. They say when Christ went to the cross, he made an attempt. And you got to do your part. That sort of stuff. You got to be baptized. Christ, you know, that's how you receive what Christ did. Or you've got to go to the Mass to receive what Christ did. All that junk. It's another gospel. They pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Oh, wish him Godspeed. Bid him Godspeed. No, he said, let him be accursed. As we said before, I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. I mean, let him go to hell. I guess that's what it's saying. He's of his father, the devil. He said, for many deceivers, John says, are in into the world who do not preach the Christ of the Scriptures. These are false teachers, which means they teach and lead men in their doctrine, don't it? For many deceivers are in the world. So a deceiver or a false teacher is trying to deceive people, or he's trying to lead people into his way of thinking, right? I mean, John wouldn't say this if they weren't out trying to teach. He's not saying, well, you know, there's a bunch of deceivers over there, you know, but they never open their mouth, so you really don't have to worry about them. Yeah. No. He's saying, know the truth. You need to know the truth, because these evil people are going door to door trying to teach their false doctrine. And if you don't know the truth, they will lead you astray. That's what I get out of this. Huh? And that's bad, huh? Yep.
But that's how they deceive.
Yeah.
Is because they know what the Bible says and they know how to twist it.
Yeah.
And make it say
what
they want.
Right. They can go to all the little scriptures here and there out of context to prove their point. And so if you don't know the scripture in its context and what the scriptures are teaching as a whole and the doctrine of Christ, if you don't understand that, they can easily lead you down the wrong path. You know, I remember when we first started coming over here, it was obvious that when you understand the truth, it makes you able to see all the false doctrine out there. Before you understand the truth in its whole, you don't know about all that stuff out there. Well, maybe they're okay. No, they're not. And it says here, who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. Now, you know, what I get out of that, that Jesus was the Messiah that the prophets and Moses spoke of, that he fulfilled all that his office required as prophet, priest, and king, that he did what the Old Testament type prefigured, especially the annual Day of Atonement and the Passover and all that stuff. You know, those that say they believe in Jesus and preach a gospel, but they really deny what those types and figures did, didn't they? Think about that Day of Atonement when that high priest confessed the sins of Israel, not the world, by the way. He confessed the sins of Israel, God's people, on the head of that scapegoat. And that scapegoat, and he transferred them to the head. He says he put him on the head. They were removed from them, and he put them on the head of that scapegoat. And that scapegoat took them. That's what Christ did. God put our sins upon him, and he nailed it to the tree. You were getting ready to say something, bro. He's our scapegoat. That's exactly right. He's our scapegoat. And every year, right? That's exactly every year, because there was a remembrance again of those sins committed every year. So, yeah, he is our high priest. He's it. Okay, man, we're gonna run out of time. Yeah, that's true. And then I'll continue. This is a deceiver and antichrist. As I said, not the antichrist as the man of sin in the end, I don't think. But a deceiver and one who is against Christ, though he may even name the name of Christ. Heck, the Muslims say they believe in Christ. They say they believe in Jesus. In fact, they think that Jesus is going to have something to do with the end times. Go read what their eschatology says. Jesus is going to come on the scenes and point to the Mahdi. Yeah, and he's a prophet, absolutely. And then in the book of Revelation, you see a false prophet that has two horns like a lamb that points people to what? The Antichrist, the beast. I don't know. You figure it out. Who knows what's going to come on?
Well, if you're going to be a deceiver, you can't be an opposite. You've got to be part of the
plan, so to speak. Yeah, part of the scheme, right. Yeah. Oh,
he was in there.
Yeah, he told her some truth, didn't he?
Right.
He did. He told her some truth. Yeah, and these false teachers out there, they come in with a little truth, don't they?
Yeah.
They do. Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have no chance of getting an audience.
Right.
They don't come in there with a little bit of truth. They totally go against what you have been trained, taught to believe over the years. You won't listen to them.
Yeah.
You won't get on top of that.
Right. Like a little snake. That's exactly right. He says this is a deceiver. Let me read what Gill says here. I thought this was pretty good. Gill says these were not the Jews who denied that Jesus was the Christ, though they are antichrist in that sense, though they would not allow that Christ was come in the flesh. But what he's saying is the ones that John is writing about is not those necessarily those Jews, but these are men that are coming in. I mean, do you think the Christians are going to be deceived by the Jews who say that Jesus is an apostle? No. So this is something a little different, okay? But they still deny that Jesus is come in the flesh. So this is what Gill says. He says, but these were some who bore the Christian name and professed to believe in Jesus Christ, but would not own that he was really incarnate or assumed a true human nature only in appearance and denied that he took true and real flesh of the virgin. You know how many people out there that name them and don't believe in the virgin birth? They're out there. They deny the virgin birth, but only seem to do so. And these are confuted by the apostle, okay, and upon every one of these, he justly fixes the following character This is a deceiver and an antichrist, is what he says. Verse 8. Well, we really almost out of time. He says, look, I'm going to keep on going a little bit. It ain't going to hurt. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. And we might go over this a little bit more. But that word look to yourselves, it means see to yourselves. It's not that they should look to themselves but look to Christ. Okay, but what it's talking about, they don't, be on guard for yourselves. Be on guard is the idea here. Not look inwardly to your own effort and ability. No, we should look to Christ, right, for grace. But guard yourselves that these deceivers not move you away from the truth in any manner is the idea here. So Gill says to look about them and take care of themselves and beware of these deceivers and their doctrines. That makes sense. Okay, I was going to quote some more scripture, but we'll come back to it next Sunday maybe, and then continue on. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. I just want to touch on that a little bit. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Notice, he did not say that someone who sinned hath not God, but he that transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. That's a little different. We all commit sin again, don't we? If any man say he's not sin, he's a liar. But here it's talking about transgresseth and abideth not. In other words, transgresseth the doctrine of Christ and not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. That's the deceivers out there, the false teachers, they transgress the doctrine of Christ. And they don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. They deny the truth that is in Christ. And they have not God. He said they have not God. And it says there, and I want to just hit on this just a second, we'll stop, okay? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. When they come to the door and they're not bringing the doctrine of Christ, don't invite them in. Receive, remember that word receive means to be, that you're welcome. Oh, come on in, you're welcome. No, don't let them, they're not welcome in your house. If they come to my door, you're not welcome here. Not, I don't think we should say it with malice, but I don't think you should take their their books or anything. Maybe give them something. But you know what? When I gave them something, you know where I found it? In the ditch. I'll guarantee you. I went out there and found it in the ditch. As soon as they walked out, they took it from me. They don't want to throw it back in your face. They took it from me, right? And as they walk in the ditch. That's what they think of it. But they want you to take their stuff, but they will not take your stuff. Don't even take their junk, okay? Unless you're just interested in seeing what they're saying. Is don't receive them into your house. Receive him, neither bid him Godspeed. Now look that up. That word Godspeed means to rejoice in what he's doing and be glad that he's spreading his lies. If you wish him Godspeed, what you're saying is the word Godspeed means to rejoice, be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well, thrive. At, you know, okay. Yeah, thrive in what you're doing. Go out there. You're doing a good work. And God be with you, by the way. Huh? If you really said that, you're a partaker in his lies. Oh, you can't even do that. I'm sorry, I'm over.